You are listening to The Activity Pod with Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 20, we interview Chef Cynthia Louise. Chef Cynthia is a whole food chef and cookbook author who currently lives in Bali. We talk to her about moving to Bali, educating our kids about food, and investing in your health. We also talk about McDonald's, and not all of it's bad. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/20. That's number 20. Annette and I want to let you know that The Activity Pod is going to be finishing soon. The reason for this is that we've decided to focus our attention back on our main businesses. However, don't worry, this isn't the last episode. We have four more episodes to go. They've been recorded, edited, and are ready for release. And these will be released over the next four Mondays. However, we wanted to let you know so that you don't get a shock when you hear our last episode in 4 weeks' time. Please know that we are so incredibly grateful to all of you who have listened to The Activity Pod over the last few months, and to those of you who have given us feedback, support, and encouragement. If you haven't listened to all our episodes, then check out our back catalogue. Our guests have given us some great advice, and we're so grateful to all of them. We look forward to sharing our final episodes with you, and afterwards you can still connect with us via our respective websites, me at melkettle.com and Annette at World Travel Tribe. We're also both very active on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at Mel Kettle and Annette is at Annette Jones Biz. Thank you again so much for listening to The Activity Pod and for supporting us over the last few months. We hope you enjoy this episode with Chef Cynthia Louise.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Our guest today is Chef Cynthia Louise, and she's a qualified whole food chef that is leading the real food revolution. She gained her qualifications in a leading health retreat on the Gold Coast, Australia, and has spent more recent years in Bali, refining her art through a collaboration with health revolutionist Tyler Tolman. Chef's gift in being able to take traditional favourite foods and transforming them into simple, healthy dishes full of flavour that is nothing short of genius. She created three best-selling cookbooks with the much-loved Dr. Libby, and has been a saviour to many households across the globe. Cynthia brings so much of her personality into what she does that, no surprise, her down-to-earth nature made her ebooks and online programs a huge success. Her latest project is called Praxis, where she and Tyler Tolman offer a five-day intensive program on the beautiful island of Bali in the art of intermittent fasting and the making of mouth-watering healthy foods. Welcome, Chef Cynthia.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So the very first thing we'd love to know is, how do you fit everything in? Because I know you're so busy.
Yeah, that's what my beautiful boyfriend says to me every day. How do you fit it all in? You know, us women, we just manage to, don't we, really,
at yeah, the end we of do. The day.
I don't think I'm any different to any others. I just believe that with conscious participation and also love, the love affair you have with not just your internal self but your external self on what you touch, feel, breathe and see becomes ease and flow. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I fit things in. It's just a natural love affair to do what I do in the hours of the day that I do. And I would say that with most mums out there or most women in a career situation, we just fit it in because we are actually, you know, there's a majority of us that are truly in love with ourselves and what we do. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Beautiful. Thank you. So do you have a daily routine or any sort of morning rituals that start your day?
It's actually really interesting. I have a particular ritual with my partner in the morning where we don't pick up any devices and we connect as two human beings in a space with words or hugs or just, you know, just connection. And then my next routine after that is drinking water is a big one for me. Yeah, so connecting with a human being is my daily ritual, and drinking water.
Lovely.
Yeah, and I find that really sets me up for the day, actually, because a lot of us, and I've done this before, I've woken up in the morning and I'm just on. I'm in, I'm out, and so most of us are, women are, and it's actually okay. It's actually really okay to be like that. And what I found is that when I'm connecting with a human being face to face, I find there's some groundingness there, and I find that the devices are put aside and something happens to me, and I find that I feel a deeper connection to myself. So then when I'm going throughout today to fit everything in, it becomes very easy.
So how does a Aussie whole food chef end up living in Bali? What's the story?
Well, I had a restaurant, and I was in a position where I wrote some amazing and collaborated with Dr. Libby Weaver on some incredible work that we've both done together, and produced three cookbooks. And I was in a position where I actually was touring with Tyler over the years and consulting on his health retreats. And he decided to move to Bali, and his first health retreat in that year was in Bali, and of course I was a part of that health retreat and was flown out here to work here for the week on the health retreat. I got here and I didn't leave.
I love it.
But one of the reasons why I didn't leave is because I grew up in Papua New Guinea, so the feeling of being here was exactly like my childhood.
Yeah.
The weather, and my mum even said to me, when you get there, you'll fall in love with it just like home. And it was. It was the weather. It was the people, just the traditionalness of the people here, and being in a third world country, something humbles me in that space, and it's my upbringing in Papua New Guinea that brings me to that space. So it's very interesting.
Where did you live in Papua New Guinea?
In Lae.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, 21 years.
Oh, nice, very nice. I spent a couple of years over there in Bougainville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so know what you mean about the people and just the culture as well. So yeah, beautiful, beautiful place, pristine. Yeah. Some of their waters and so forth are pristine.
Totally, I agree.
So can you explain to our listeners what a whole food chef is, and can you share some of your food philosophy with us?
Sure. Okay, so we are chefs, and whoever's listening out there that's a chef or has a partner as a chef or a friend that's a chef, you'll know that we go to TAFE and we do a basic 3-year to 5-year training to be a chef, and that's under the culinary arts, and it's French. It's pretty much French technique.
Yeah.
And then through that, we are actually put in a restaurant, a club, pub, or dining, fine dining restaurant, so we can actually have practical skills as we train through TAFE. Mm. What I did was, because I was brought up in Papua New Guinea for 21 years, it was just in my DNA to play with the whole food. It wasn't something that I wasn't subject to the wellness industry, and I certainly didn't have any ideas or identification with diets or the healthy industry. I just was a human being that lived in a third world country that was surrounded by women making gorgeous food from plants and from animals, as close to nature intended it to be, with low human interference. So my natural progression with food and touching food as a teenager and then as someone in their 20s was naturally with food in its whole form. Mm-hmm. So then I came to Australia and I did a chef's apprenticeship, which means I went to TAFE, and I was surrounded by refined sugars and lots of poor quality dairy, poor quality animal flesh, poor quality vegetables. And when I mean by poor quality, I'm talking about animal flesh that has been raised in a situation where it's not not pasture fed, or it's just basic farming at its degree, and as well as plants that have been sprayed with fungicides, herbicides, and pesticides. So I was in a dairy industry, which I didn't have any dairy, so I was subject to that. But then I had to find a place where I had to put myself in my practical skills. And what I did was I looked around, and everything I found, I felt uncomfortable. I got quite scared when I walked into a Italian kitchen or a Japanese restaurant or a fish and chip shop, whatever it might have been, or a fine dining restaurant. I found a sense of fear come over me. And I felt when I went home and I spoke to my mum, I said, I'm really scared to do this apprenticeship. Mm. And she said, well, you need to be where you feel comfortable. And I said, I feel comfortable in the garden, and I feel comfortable with vegetables from, you know, just vegetables naturally picked or just given to me by someone that I've met. Yeah. And she said, well, find that. So I searched for 3 months till I found a health retreat that wouldn't take me actually at all. And it was really interesting, and I begged the head chef to actually take me on, and I could wash dishes, I could prove that I was capable enough, and he finally took me on. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yes. But I sat in that, and I felt comfortable, and I was back to my roots, which is playing with food as close to nature intended it to be, below human interference. So I was naturally in whole food. Now, to be a whole food chef these days, you've got many chefs that go and do the same thing as I did, go to training. They go and work in very standard or upmarket restaurants, cafes or pubs, and they discover, and this is what happens to chefs, they discover there's either two things. Number one, they get sick, and number two, that one of their family members gets sick.
Yeah.
And I find that then they do a switch. They start playing around with more dairy-free stuff. They start playing around with more plants. They start playing around with more gluten-free stuff. And they start to challenge themselves. And all of a sudden, they feel good and they're looking for something else. And then they start to work in places that have really awesome menus that are surrounded by whole foods or sourced appropriately. Or they put themselves in health retreats. Or they do a course in a technique in cooking like raw foods or fermented foods or vegan or vegetarian foods. So that's my interpretation of a whole foods chef.
That's great. And did you find when you moved from New Guinea to Australia to do your apprenticeship and had to eat the food that was available here, did that affect your health personally? Did you find that?
When I moved from New Guinea to Australia, I was 21 years old and I grew a garden straight away. My mum and I and my dad, we planted straight away, pretty much the first year we got there. I wasn't affected, nor did I ever feel stressed about food, because I surrounded myself with beautiful friends and lots of cooking and whole food. So yeah, no, I didn't get stressed. I think I was more stressed in learning in doing my apprenticeship. Later on, I found myself more scared playing with the foods because I didn't know how to do it. And the techniques to emulsify creams and melting chocolate, you know, I make chocolate from scratch. So I was more
nervous. I know, I've got the book.
I was more nervous in that realm, if anything, because it was really hard for me to try and adjust what my taste buds required for me, but also to try and learn a technique that I didn't really understand.
Yeah.
But eating out or cooking at home, I did a lot of cooking at home, and I had a lot of dinner parties with my girlfriends and my friends, and we always made delicious whole food, always, without fail. We were always doing something new, or we were always making something quite extraordinary.
Yum. I'm getting quite hungry just having this conversation. you mentioned earlier that you're a mum. How do you respond to your child when he says, Mum, I want to eat a hamburger with beef?
Okay, so nothing wrong with beef. So my child is turning 23 years old at the moment, and when he was younger, he was surrounded by gardening and food. And I honestly, as a parent, I gave Jamin what served him, not what he wanted. So it was only when he got to his older teenage years, so 16, 17, 18, and so on, that he made his own choices. Whether they were good or bad or unhealthy or healthy was irrelevant. The fact that he had the foundation and he knew what he felt good when he ate, whether it was plants or animal, he just knew the combinations of processed foods didn't serve him. And he still says it to this day. He still feels great when I cook for him and when he cooks for himself. So I built the foundations first. It's like building a website. It's like building a website, right? You've got to have the foundation set. The first 15%, if you nail that, you're laughing. Yeah. I believe as a parent and as a very busy mum that I was, that Jamin, I could have given Jamin what he wanted. And I felt like many times I really could have, but I wasn't going to. I was going to give Jamin what I ate. Yeah. And whether he liked it or not, and sometimes he didn't, and I really respected that. And sometimes he loved seaweed and I hated it. I can't stand it. And he just used to love nibbling on nori sheets. I'm like, dude, that's really weird. Okay, that's fine, no problem. And I found that over the years that he had a very really refined and broad, really broad palate, and giving them options and different delicious foods that they really loved was very easy for Jamin to maintain a consistency with his choices and food. Now, he'll eat something that doesn't serve him or the planet, but he will know how he feels. Mm. And that's the foundations I built.
And that's it, isn't it? I know I've got quite a few friends who are vegetarian for varying reasons, and they, you know, that's all they cook at home and that's all they eat at home. And with their children, they say to their kids, well, you're in my home and you cook, you'll eat what I cook, and if you want something different, well, you can go and shop for it, buy it, pay for it, cook it yourself and learn, which they're too young to do at this stage. But when they're out, if they say, I'd like to try some McDonald's, then my friend will always say, well, okay, you can try it, knowing that it won't have a positive impact on their body and knowing that it will make them ill. But she said they need to make that decision for themselves, and they need to be having those experiences themselves.
Totally.
And I don't want to be the parent who just says no all the time. So
and children aren't stupid.
Exactly.
And children love to learn. When you take a child from the comfort zone into the learning zone, and like for an instance, it's a beautiful process. What I used to do with Jamin is get him to research things. You know, there was one time I took him to the dentist, and he said, you know, he was like 15 or 14 and a half or 15, and he was like, I'm just going to go to this dentist. This dentist will do. And I said, well, let's have a look at what happens at a dentist. And when he researched certain things, he goes, oh, God, I don't want that in my mouth. Okay, awesome. What are you going to do then?
Yeah.
Like, what can we afford, and what are you going to do, and where are we going to invest this money in? And it was a really conscious participation on his behalf. So I love the idea of children being in the learning zone and not just as a parent going, okay, you can try it, but these are the consequences. That's almost coming out of fear for me. I love to go, hey, Jamin, let's investigate McDonald's. Let's have a look at it. Let's find the goodness in McDonald's. Let's not look at the fear or the anger or the uncertainty in McDonald's. Let's find some goodness, because there is goodness in McDonald's. There is. It's a fantastic franchise environmentally. They've done some incredible things by putting kids through, you know, different types of education. They're quite a remarkable company in lots of ways, but they're also, as any company, have their, you know, their not so remarkableness in them. And it's up to us, the power of the wallet, if we're going to support an industry like that. And that's what I educate Jamin to do. See, an individual can transform a nation. A government cannot. And what happens with an individual is they can transform a nation through their fork and their wallet. And I really, really encourage my son to be proactive in where he puts his wallet.
Yeah, I really agree with you on a few things you've just said. I really agree with you with McDonald's. I've got a 15-year-old stepson, and I'm trying so hard to encourage him to get a part-time job at McDonald's, not because I want him to eat the food, because I think it's complete rubbish. And I think the best thing about them are the toilets when you're traveling because they're always clean. But because of the work ethic that they train their kids into. And I've spoken to so many employers over the years who've said, if I have two candidates and they are exactly the same, but one of them's got worked at McDonald's as a part-time job as a teenager, then that is the person I will always hire over the other person. Because if everything else is, you know, reasonably equal, because they will have the training and the work ethic and the ability to, you know, understand why I'm telling you to do things for a reason, and they'll just get on and do it.
And another thing too that we have to create with our up and rising stars, our children, is there's no fight. There's no food fight here.
Exactly.
And that was one of the things that really came to me when I first arrived in Australia. That, you know, I found that, oh my God, I did not want to be in a food fight. I had a profound choice and I had the accessibility to choose. And I feel that if my son was to work, he's in the Australian Army. I mean, somebody, people would say that's not a good job supporting war. But what I've done with Jamin is I've raised him to see the beauty in everything. Mm-hmm. And to shine in from a place of not just love in that hippie manner, but just really shine in from a place of a human being that if you are solid in your foundations, you could be in a battlefield and you could see the beauty in it somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's if we're going to talk about a chain like McDonald's, there's beauty in everything. And the more we show up to McDonald's, like, you know, look what Jamie Oliver's doing. He's challenged them. There is beauty. He's never wanted to close them down. He's wanted to challenge them as a human race and see if they could see farming and see if they could see the way food is produced and see if they could be educated so they could be, you know, in a space of not just abundance, but in clarity of what we can achieve with food. Mm. What a remarkable achievement! Imagine if he came in with his guns and anger. It's not a win-win.
That wouldn't work at all. No.
It never does. It doesn't matter. You know, if you go in for a fight, it never gets the outcome. Mm. It never. Doesn't matter what it is.
My grandmother used to say, "You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar." And that's always been my philosophy in life is, you know, if you treat people well, particularly when they're angry and pissed off at you, then you might have a chance of bringing them around. But if you respond to anger with anger, you're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to lose. Everybody's going to lose. There's no way to win anger with anger. Yeah. You said earlier that you were encouraging your son to learn about investing and what you wanted to invest your money in when he was deciding about a dentist. And I find the philosophy of investing in your health to be really interesting because so many people talk about it, but so many people don't do it. And, you know, things like, there's a whole range of things, but from a food perspective, the number of people who say, you know, I'm having a mental blank of an example here. you know, they talk the talk, but then they'll eat something that will be completely contrary to what they've said, or they'll do something that will be completely contrary to what they've said. And I just love that, you know, you invest in your body and you invest in your mind. And one of the easiest ways to do that is through what you eat and what you put into it.
Yeah. You know, I do agree with you, but I also am going to throw this in the ball game as well. You are what you think. Mm-hmm. Where thoughts go, energy flows.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and I believe with all my heart and my whole, you know, human physical existence right now in this time and space reality that, you know, investment in anything, whether we invest in a 56-inch TV, or whether we invest in my cookbooks, whether we invest in an ice cream maker, whether we invest in pot plants, whatever we put our attention on, I believe as a human race, consciousness beyond what we know of consciousness is vital for us to actually move forward in our health. So I could buy something and be very like unconscious around it. And let's just put food, for example, because I'm a chef, okay? I could buy some ingredients just because I'm hungry and I would just pay no attention to it at all. I truly believe when I'm educating someone to create a value around food that I get them to consciously participate in the present moment. Mm. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we're as a human race that we're striving for. The planet is shifting. I'm so excited when I come home to Australia in December when I saw the amount of cafes and the amount of stuff in Woolworths. I was just pleasantly surprised of shifting.
I have to say, I'm not a massive fan of the big supermarkets, but Coles and Woolworths have done an enormous amount in recent, probably in the last 12 months in particular, to really push that fresh food message. Mm-hmm. And the overhaul that they've both given their produce departments has been amazing to see.
Yeah, you've only got to see the actual floor space that consumes the whole supermarket to know that there is definitely a shift. Which is great.
It's about time. If you're looking for voiceover talent, then get in touch with our voiceover guy, Steve Mendel. Steve is also a consultant, coach and presenter, and you can find him via his website, stevemendel.com.au. And that's S-T-E-V-E-M-E-N-D-L. Thanks, Steve. Just changing tack slightly, when we introduced you, we talked about your latest project, which is Praxis. Can you explain to our listeners what that is and what that's about?
Sure. So the word praxis is Greek. So there's praxis, gnosis, and intelligence. Gnosis is to know, to actually to give you all the knowledge and why, what, when, and how of food, right?
Yeah.
That's gnosis. To become intellectus, which is Greek for after you put something into praxis, it will transform of some kind. This is where the magic happens. And then to practice, to do praxis, this is where the real work starts, having a practical application of what you've learned and creating the skills and habits that last a lifetime. It's kind of like a value system, kind of like drinking water, right? It just is. We don't have to think about it. It's not under the wellness industry umbrella where water's healthy. We just drink it because it's just a part of us. It's quite an extraordinary thing. It's like breath. We just breathe. So praxis is something myself and Tyler have been wanting to do for about 6 years now together, is to actually take the two human beings. Tyler Tolman is the why. Why would you actually intermittent fast? Why would you actually eat certain foods? And Chef Cynthia Louise, which is me, is showing you how to actually practice the art of creating flavors and putting those foods together in a really unique experience in Bali under an incredible space where you're actually practicing how to make food in a quite an extraordinary way. So does that answer your question? It's a five-day intensive program, actually, just to discover the art of intermittent fasting.
We'll pop a link on our show notes for people who want more information about it. But can you just – you mentioned intermittent fasting. That's something that's been in the media a lot lately, particularly in terms of the 5-2 diet that seems to be sweeping the world. Can you explain what that is and why it's of benefit to our health?
Do you mean you're asking me about intermittent fasting? You're asking me about the 5-2?
Intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting.
Okay, so I just did it.
And I know the two aren't quite the same.
So intermittent, let's talk about fasting first. What does it actually mean? Jesus fasted. The Essenes fasted. The Egyptians fasted. Dogs fast when they don't eat. Have you noticed that? Cats and dogs fast when they're babies. Babies don't want to eat anything when they're grumpy and something's kind of grumbling in their tummy and they've got colic. Something happens to us naturally when we're out of sorts, right? So that's fasting straight out there. When we get sick, as soon as we get sick, Mum comes in with a bowl of chicken soup. She loves us, Mum, you know. she just that's beautiful, right? But we don't want to eat it because we're sick, right? So our body naturally has this extraordinary instrumentation in our bodies. It's so gorgeous that it actually knows what to do. So what we do, me and Tyler, and Tyler's a real expert at this. I'm going to regurgitate some of the stuff that Tyler talks about, but this is his expertise. Fasting and intermittent fasting is a natural way of detoxing the body without putting pressure on the organs. So what you do is you get up in the morning, which is right now. You're up, I'm up. It's 8 o'clock in Bali. I'm not going to eat any food until about between 1 and 4 o'clock today, and I'm just going to drink water. I'm going to drink 1 liter of water per 22 kilo body weight. I'm going to do lots of breathing. I'm going to have a big workload. I'm going to have lots of meetings. I'm actually going to do some demonstrations on Thermomix that Thermomix just gave me yesterday. I'm going to do some training on it. We're collaborating with them at the moment, so I'm constantly around food and I'm fasting. My body is naturally in detox from the moment I went to bed right up until 12 o'clock at lunchtime. So I'm going to allow my digestion to have a holiday. So I'm just not going to get up in the morning and keep putting food in there and blocking things up. I'm just going to allow my digestion to actually process what I ate last night in ease and flow. And then I'm going to drink lots and lots of water and I'm going to rehydrate my body. And I know I'm going to rehydrate my body because I'm going to go to the toilet and I'm going to pee pretty much every half an hour. And that means I'm hydrated. So fasting is allowing the body to have a rest so it can heal certain parts of things that aren't operating at its full capacity.
And is that something you do every day?
I've been intermittent fasting for probably 2 years.
Okay.
And no, it's something I do every day on the weekends. And it's funny, this is a really interesting question because do you know what? Chefs don't eat when they cook.
Yeah.
They naturally fast. And it's quite extraordinary. If you go into a kitchen, if you come into my restaurant when I had a restaurant or if I worked in a health retreat and you asked me to sit down for lunch, oh, my God, that would be the last thing I'd do. I'd sit down for lunch after my 8 to 10 hour shift had finished. Because as soon as I sat down for lunch, and this is a freaking awesome example, I would become sluggish, slow, and dumbed down. So isn't that extraordinary? Food is life. It keeps us alive. But when we eat that much of it, right, something pulls us down.
So I reckon that's why a lot of Mediterraneans have the siesta in the afternoon, because they have a massive lunch and then they need to have a nap to sort of sleep off while their digestive system does what it needs to do.
Yeah. So if that makes sense to all the listeners out there, intermittent fasting naturally happens as a chef because you would know too as a cook at home, you cook a beautiful lunch or cook a Christmas dinner and you go to sit down to it and you're either starving or you're full, right?
I now cook for dinner parties the day before because I'm so fed up with, you know, spending hours in the kitchen when I'm entertaining and then sitting down and just being exhausted and not wanting to actually look at any of that beautiful food I've just made. So now I do it the day before much as I can.
Intermittent fasting is a wonderful way of giving your organs a rest, and it also is a wonderful way of experiencing how your body operates.
Have you noticed any health benefits since you've been living that way?
Health benefits, that's such an interesting word, health. For Cynthia, in this body right now, I've noticed that I'm smarter, lighter, quicker, in the sense that my energy levels are extremely high.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. So
I haven't eaten. I've just eaten, drinking copious amounts of water.
Yeah.
And I'm finding my energy levels. I'm standing. Don't forget I'm standing. I'm physically working. Mm. Or I'm on the computer or I'm in a team meeting. So my brain is on and my body is on. I find myself having way more energy than I've ever had in my life.
So what will you have for lunch today?
Today, I've got the Thermomix lady coming to do some training.
We're both Thermomix owners.
Oh, really? So whatever we're going to make for that, I'll probably, have that. I think there's a pumpkin soup. I think we're making a rendang out of tempeh.
Mm, yum.
A beetroot salad, I think. That's what I'm making.
Oh, yum. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
So we've talked about how much you've got going on. Are there any tips and tricks that you can share that you use to stay on track so that you can stay focused to get everything done?
Yeah, I would suggest for all you beautiful women out there, especially mums and businesswomen, lovers too, you know, a lot of us are wives and lovers to somebody, and we're women in our own right. The first thing I would say is breathe diaphragmatically. So when you put your hands, so if you ladies would like to put your hand on your chest right now between your breasts and just breathe up there, and just take a couple of breaths, not big breaths, just breathe like I'm talking, just normal breaths. And now put your hands on your stomach and breathe. And take big breaths in your tummy. And find and see if you can actually make your tummy go in and out without your chest moving. If us women could breathe like that during the day, that would make a profound effect on your health. That would be the first tip I'd have for all of us beautiful rushing women out there. The second tip I'd have is drink water.
Yeah.
Drink water, ladies, drink water until your pee is clear and does not smell. Drink water, water, water. 1 litre per 22 kilo body weight. You will find something will shift in you.
That's per day, sorry. I assume 1 litre per 22 kilos per 24-hour period.
Right. So I'm 70, I'm 70 kilos, so I'm going to drink 3 litres. Is that right?
About that.
So I've got a bottle in my hand now and it's 750 mils. I've already drunk that in this interview and now I'm ready to have some more water. I'm not going to drink water like I have to. Mm. I'm going to drink water because it's a part of my value. So if we can all as women, as a collective, start instead of winding up with coffee, if we could just, you know, flood our bodies with what nature requires from it, with water, you'll find that would be the most sustainable tip in your healthy routine that you'll ever have. Mm. Those two would be awesome. The third one I'd suggest that we all do together is we are what we think. We are what we think. We are what we think. Where energy, where thoughts go, energy flows.
You see,
this is one thing, Mel, that I've tested throughout my entire life, and especially in the last 10 years. The conditions will never be right. You've got to become the right condition.
Mm.
Do you understand? Like, the conditions will never be right. The external or external or internal, you've got to become the right condition. And you've got to have, actually not you've got to, you must have a sense of that feeling that when Cynthia becomes the right condition and is really secure and my roots and my foundation are in the ground, I know exactly where I stand in my career as a lover, as a mum, as a woman in my own right, something happens to me. Something happens, I lose weight, my skin becomes clear. Where thoughts go, energy flows on a cellular level. So they're my tips to creating optimal health.
I love those. Yeah.
We're both standing here nodding our heads, yes.
Yep. Do you have any other tips that you could share for our listeners who are wanting to make some changes to their diet so that they, maybe some tips on how they could eat more whole foods or how they could move more towards cooking at home with fresh ingredients, cooking from scratch, that sort of thing?
I think there's nothing wrong with eating out. Choose your restaurants, ladies. Choose your cafes and choose your menus. I think that we can support an industry and keep the economy alive by putting our wallets in the most profound establishments on the planet. So Googling where the AI, because there are mums that are listening and there are women that are listening right now that cannot and will not cook, and that's okay.
There's a few men listening as well.
You beautiful men. That it's actually okay. Just really Google Guru. I call Google Google Guru. And find those cafes and restaurants that have a really beautiful, you know, healthier, more sustainable options on their menus. The second thing at home, if you want to cook and you've always wanted to cook, I believe you can. I just believe facilitation is in order. So, you know, having a partner with you, a girlfriend or someone's a really great way of opening a recipe book and starting. Start with something really simple. Start with one thing, like a potato bake. Like, my potato bake recipe is so, so simple. You know, start with like one simple thing and just leave it at that for a week or a month.
Can I jump in and suggest that our listeners try your tomato sauce recipe?
Beautiful.
Oh my goodness, that is with tomatoes and capsicum. Oh my god, it just goes with anything.
There you go.
And it's so simple.
Yeah.
And the smell simple. Through the. Oh,
that's my dinner sorted for tonight then.
Beautiful. So yeah, just start with one thing that's really simple, and know that you have. You know, there's myself, I'm always on tap on Facebook to help people. I'm constantly in conversation with women that have, you know, made one of my recipes or are making a recipe that they're struggling with. Find a mentor. I would suggest you find a mentor that will open up and actually have a discussion with you and not one of those Facebook pages where people don't show up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about, yeah, really find someone. So that's my suggestion.
One of my suggestions, when I was a uni student and then when I moved to Brisbane and I was single and living on my own, I had a girlfriend who, you know, we both were really busy, but we both liked, we couldn't afford to eat out all the time or even really very often. So we just cooked for each other. So one night a week I'd go to her place for a meal and one night she'd come to mine. And part of the deal was that you had to cook enough so that they could then take a serve of that meal home. So they'd have two meals that they didn't have to cook for the week. But it also meant that once a week I was cooking for somebody else. And I know from my experience, when I cook for somebody else, I put a lot more effort in than when I cook for myself.
Yeah.
Just for me. And so it meant that I cooked with more vegetables. I cooked, you know, I made a bit more of an effort rather than making spaghetti bolognese every single week when it was my turn. I'd learn a few new recipes. And it was just a really great way of practicing my skill in the kitchen, which back then wasn't very great, and building my confidence, because my friend was always so grateful that she didn't have to cook, that, you know, it didn't matter what I served up or what she served me. There was always that sense of gratitude and thankfulness that somebody else had gone to the effort to prepare a meal.
Exactly. So partnering up with someone, ladies, is definitely the way to go.
And if you, I don't know if any of our listeners has actually seen your Facebook page, but I love it when you share a recipe and you always put a cup of love in it or half a cup of inspiration or something like that. It's really cool. Yeah.
I love that too. I think I might have to start doing that.
Yeah. No, it takes a second. And it doesn't need to be every day or every time you cook. It's just that 1 second. And that's what I mean. The conditions will never be right. You've got to become the right condition. And that's exactly where I'm shining in from. I'm just getting people to have a bit of a pattern interrupt. I get a lot of emails and a lot of messages saying, oh, what is one cup of living in the lecto? And I go, well, you know, darling, you know, and I politely answer and I have a giggle, I do, but I really support them to actually open up and go, oh, okay, all right, okay, thank you. And they're like, okay, cool. So if you notice some of my recipes, you'll find one cup of gratitude. What does that mean to you? You know, becoming the right condition, becoming the right condition. That's what I teach. It's not just I'm a chef. I'm more than a chef. It's facilitating creativity in the kitchen, yes, but it's also giving you a sense of connection with nature.
It's really a whole life philosophy that you're imparting.
Yeah, and it's what our grandmothers did, by the way, and our great-grandmothers did. This is not you.
Yeah, that's right. Do you have any big goals for the next 12 months?
I do, actually.
Can you share them
Yes, I'd love to. I've just been I've been living in Bali since 2011, Bali, Indonesia. And no, I don't have a glamorous life of massages and going out for cocktails. I have a very quiet life. With some very close family and friends here, and I have a studio where I film out of. So I've been filming solidly for my online programs and for TV, online TV, for the past year, and putting together numerous cookbooks and content for my new website and new products that are coming out. So, and also creating a wonderful health retreat for women and for men, actually, to come out for a five-day fast feast and live, to practice the art of fasting and feasting and living this way. So I've been busy collaborating with different partners and also working alongside my team to create the best possible programs, where when you buy the programs, it's like watching Jamie Oliver. It's the same kind of thing. And yes, I'm funny. And so it's kind of like watching, you know, cooking show, but you actually get step by step. Like my potato bake, for instance, has no dairy. It's very creamy and very luxurious and quite extraordinary, and I show you how to make, you know, very basic, simple family favourites that you're not going to get a divorce over. And it's not about being a vegetarian.
And the kids are like,
I'm not about making anybody a vegetarian. I'm uninterested in that. I'm more interested in doing what my mum told me to do, and that's just eat your veggies.
One of my goals for this year is to have at least 2 vegetarian dinners a week, which I thought would be quite a challenge, given that my husband, you know, if there's not a big thick steak on the plate, he'll go, what's the main meal and what's for dinner? Yeah. And the first few meals that I cooked for him that were vegetarian, he just ate them, asked for seconds. And it wasn't until I told him a few days later that they were both vegetarian that he even realised. And I thought, that's a win, because vegetarian food shouldn't be plain and boring. Or, you know, there's an impression with a lot of people, particularly mass carnivores like my husband, that vegetarian meals are just a plate of steamed veggies. And I think more people who can dissuade that view, the better. And that's, you know, that's just one reason why I love what you're doing, because, you know, everything, it shouldn't be hard.
Being vegetarian, but it's also not about that. I mean, I always come into people's lives when they're married and they're like, I'm really worried about my husband. He's not. I said, give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Just add more potato bakes and you know, saute vegetables to the table. And what'll happen is he'll start to look at meat as a side dish.
Yeah.
And not main affair.
And that's
so
what
no food.
And that's how my husband looks at it now. Over, you know, we've been together for 11 years, and when we first met, he ate vegetables, but now he would eat probably 10 times more vegetables in a week than he used to. And I just think that's a fantastic change in him. And he just looks brighter and healthier and happier.
And he's probably pooing better, and he's probably, you know.
Well, they still smell bad. He doesn't listen. He's told me he's listened to my interview and that was it. And it's like, well, I'll just talk about you and you can listen to find out.
Love it.
So that was in 12 months' time. Where do you see yourself in 5 years and how do you think you're going to get there? What's your vision?
My vision for myself is to be incredibly grounded in who I am, mm-hmm. and where I feel I shine in from, and to create real flow in my work. So I see myself very comfortable around family and friends. I see myself creating a lot more products with my brand, mm-hmm. and I see myself being in a position where I get to facilitate and to help a lot of chefs out there in the world, as well as mums and kids. Yeah,
lovely.
The next 12 months, I see myself this year is launching all the stuff I've created last year, and then starting to create more stuff for the following year.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's excellent. That's okay, finally, what's your number one tip to get stuff done, would you say? What's the most important that you could share with our listeners?
What do you mean by stuff? What do you mean?
Just through your working day to achieve what you want to achieve by the end of the day, what's your top tip for that?
My top tip is to have people around you, because I believe together we're better. Mm-hmm. And when we're together, like we're in a workspace, you get more stuff done when you have colleagues around you and you have that lady at reception and that person over there. Something happens. You get more stuff done. So having a team around you, whether it's one person or 20 people, mm-hmm. I believe that gives me a really great, and that's a normal workspace. You could walk into any office building in Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane and you can see that happening right there and then. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to do it. I feel like being surrounded by people, together we are definitely better and we get more stuff. Yeah. Mm,
nice. Love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. And but before we go, where can our listeners find you and where's the best place to connect with you?
Well, you can contact me on Facebook. It's Cynthia Louise or Chef Cynthia Louise. The ones, both Facebook. And then Instagram is the same thing. And then on my website is the same thing, chefcynthialouise.com.
Okay.
So very, very easy with me. And if you need any recipes or any help with anything, I'm around. I love chatting about food. So.
Well, I'm sure our listeners will certainly do that. Thanks so much again.
Thanks. Okay, we're done now.
Thanks for listening to the Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode, where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.